Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren from WFIU WTIU News. This week we are in the mayor's office with Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton. Hello, welcome to the show. Thanks so much again for having us.
Thank you, Joe. Always good to be with you.
So we're just coming off an election. You weren't on the ballot this year. That must have been a little strange standing there watching returns come in.
It was different. It was different, Joe. I got to cast my vote, and I wasn't on the ballot this time. So.
But we did see that you were at election headquarters and spoke with Bloomington Mayor-elect Carrie Thompson. What did you tell her that night?
That night, I just said, look, Carrie, congratulations. And of course, it wasn't a surprise, but it was a big night for Democrats here in Bloomington. And said, let's keep talking. We're working regularly with her on a transition and happy to sit down. She's entering a great job. The city's doing really well. I think it's going to be an exciting next 4 years for her and for the city.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned transition. Is that already starting? Or I guess what all goes into that?
It is. We've been working with her for weeks and some of her staff, and she's thinking about personnel matters, thinking about policy issues. There's still several weeks to go, six or seven weeks, I think. But we're working closely with her and council too. There's a big turnover in city council as well, a majority new members coming in. So trying to make sure it's a smooth handoff.
How about Democrat Brandon Sacbun knocking off longtime Republican Duke Bennett in Terre Haute? He's only 27 years old.
It was a big night, I think, Joe, around the state. A lot of more diversity in our mayor races. Mayor serving next year will be younger, more women, more people of color. I think the Democrats did really well. I think I saw 300,000 more people will be represented by Democrat mayors. Evansville's a big gain, a terrific new leader there. Indianapolis, and Lawrence, a new mayor there, and as you mentioned in Terre Haute, an exciting new mayor who I've met and look forward to working with him if there's any way I can help him.
Yeah. So there are still a few things on the docket here in Bloomington. I know you only have a month and a half or so left here, but still a few things to kind of go over. I just want to get your reaction to the Lower Cascades possibly being nominated for historic status. What, just your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a beautiful park. It's a historic park. It turns 100 next year, I think. So I totally understand that part. It doesn't really affect the road decision, but it's a beautiful park. I've always felt that. It's one of our treasures that sometimes I think people don't really think about it as a park destination, perhaps, everybody. So I think early next year, there'll probably be some more consideration of that. But in terms of whether it should stay a road or not, and the next council will think about that, I think.
Yeah. Was there a proposal, or will there be a proposal from administration to city council before the end of the year on the proposed road to pedestrian?
Not in Cascades. I think the next step will probably be some additional study and review of that, looking at the different costs. As you and I have talked about, Joe, if you keep that road, then it's a multi-million dollar prospect to put a trail in there, probably $3 million or more to put a trail, which we need for connectivity. So it's a financial decision, and I think the next year or so, that'll have to be decided.
Is there any reason why, that there was no proposal for that, or what changed?
We brought it to council, and I think council was wrestling with it, and I think overall council said, let's just shift this into next year. They have a busy few weeks left on some things to do, so we'll let that be decided next year.
So you're just back from a trip to Nicaragua, if I can say that, in Cuba, to visit Bloomington's sister cities. So what was the purpose of the trip? Who all went?
Joe, I found out we have two sister cities. We've been for decades for each of them, and no sitting mayor, as far as our records reflect, had ever visited. And I felt we've had many delegations of residents, dozens have gone to Postaltega, Nicaragua, and to Santa Clara, Cuba, over the last decades, and no mayor had. And I really thought it would be appropriate to do. It was, there were four city employees who went, and then a handful of others from in each of the countries that went. And it was really a powerful visit. I think it was a good visit. It reminds us that sister cities are about connecting people. As a mayor, I helped kind of, I think, strengthen the visits of all of our community members who've been going there year after year after year. We went to Posoltega, Nicaragua on the 25th anniversary of a tragic 2,000 person killed mudslide that took out a terrible natural disaster, and we wanted to be there with them to kind of memorialize that. So that was a moving experience. And then in Cuba, I'd never been, and many had, but we've had residents from Indiana go over and over and over many times. So I got to meet with the mayor and actually the governor of the state of Santa Clara that we went to, and exchange ideas and just kind of create those people-to-people links.
Yeah, and this is a city-led initiative, so I assume the budget funding came from the city.
City budget paid for the city employees. Other people who went paid their own way. But yes, we had four city employees go, including one of our water experts, and Hector Ortiz, who's a fluent Spanish speaker, by the way, from Puerto Rico, a terrific part of our water team, went, and he was able to engage with both those cities about some of their water systems, too.
So, I mean, I think you kind of touched upon this, but for those in Bloomington saying, well, why are our tax money sending you guys to a different country? But you're saying Bloomington residents will get back from this because...
Well, look, one of the things I said to people in those visits was cities are actually older than states or nations. Cities go back thousands of years, and relationships between cities, even when relationships between countries and nation states can be challenging, which they are with both of those countries, the relationship between cities is really important. I think reminding all of us that we are part of one planet, we have a lot of shared interests, we have a lot of shared challenges. I certainly saw some things in Cuba and in Nicaragua that reminded me about challenges we have with, you know, clean streets, sanitation services, housing challenges, jobs, public safety, all those things. And so, look, I think it's an investment from Bloomington to help try to make a better world, and that's part of our job.
So I've been covering the newly formed County Capital Improvement Board meetings. They have full membership now as they're moving along. Legal representation, bylaws, I believe, are next. They're going to meet up with the architect, but they're still waiting on the interlocal agreement. So that's the blueprint, kind of the backbone for what the city, county officials, how you want them to kind of guide them through that process. A month ago, you said it's coming. Weeks. Well, it's been weeks, so where are we right now?
Good question. So... We've been working on the convention center for 7 years. We've probably been working on the interlocal for about 7 months. And very shortly, depending on when this is broadcast, Joe, I think you'll see that we're ready to move forward with the interlocal. We've actually, there's a draft that's in front of City Council. It has to be endorsed by four different entities, the mayor, City Council, County Commissioners, and County Council. So that process is going to begin immediately. We do have a document that we're ready to move forward with. Now, all four of us have to agree on it. I think we do, but we got to make sure that happens in the week or two ahead, and then we're ready to move forward. And I'm pleased with the result. I think it does meet the objectives, which I wanted to be sure, which was that we have a way to have an efficient process, transparent, but not overwhelmingly cumbersome, to produce a great result for downtown, and I think we're positioned to do that.
So you are in favor of it right now.
Yes.
And City Council needs to look at it. Can they make changes to it? And then
if they make any changes, it's got to go back to all four.
It goes through all four again.
We've done a lot of negotiations, and I think we have a document that all four entities can approve. But you don't know till you get to the votes. I will be signing it very shortly.
And have the commissioners seen it?
They have definitely seen it. It was mostly negotiated between the executives. Shared with the with the legislative branch too, but all the legislators have to vote. You got to get nine city council
and
members.
County too, right? County council
and the county council. So that's nine members plus seven members. Got to get a majority from each.
So can you tell us a little bit about what's in it?
Well, it mostly, Joe, to me, the key thing is it basically lines the CIB up to build the new convention center in the years ahead, and to do that in strict and strong coordination with City Council, which has the funding. It won't ask the CIB to get involved in managing the convention center now. It won't ask the county to be involved in financing it. And it kind of keeps everybody in their lane for the next several years so that the CIB can focus on creating a great product. City Council will have to fund it, so that relationship's going to be key. And then it proposes kind of a handoff to the CIB, then become the operator and owner of the whole thing, but a few years down the road.
All right, we'll look forward to that. Some Bloomington residents will receive vouchers from the city to purchase electric bikes. There are qualifications for this. It supports climate action plans. What else does it do?
Well, it's great. I think this is part of the work that our economic sustainable development does. It's part of our climate action plan, our transportation demand management. And so, you know, sometimes these little programs, you hear about them, but they're part of building the momentum toward less dependence on vehicles, single occupancy vehicles particularly. So we're offering people $500 to help them buy an electric bike, $1,000 if you're low income. So this is a serious help. And the more people we can have using these vehicles, the better for our community. They tell me that, and I don't own an electric bike, I want to get one. They tell me that once you get one, you use it more than you would another bike. The evidence suggests that it's easier, it's you get less sweaty, you still get exercise, but you use it more, and that's what we want to see happening.
So why not give these grants to just pedal bikes too?
A good question. I guess we feel, and I don't know the detail, Joe, and there may be some support for pedal bikes too, but I think the evidence is that getting people to an electric bike can significantly increase their use of that bike and decrease the use of a car. We do significant subsidies for people with bikes, whether they're electric or not, for our employees, and we certainly encourage employers to do that, but this is a specific program that's funding the use of these electric bikes to reduce vehicle miles traveled in Bloomington.
All right, well, we did have one email, and I know this is maybe a little bit out of your purview, but you might be able to speak a little bit on this. Amy emails in, and her question is, why are so many people drowning in Lake Monroe?
Well, I don't know the data, Joe. Drowning is one of the danger causes of death of people, whether it's toddlers in pools or people in lakes. Of course, we don't have jurisdiction over the lake. I will say often one sees connections between alcohol and being out on the water, which are not great things to mix together. I'll encourage people to keep being safe and work with the Department of Natural Resources, which oversees the operations there. But we sure want everybody to stay safe as they're out there.
That's about all I had. I always like to leave the last minute to you for any quick updates. I'm sure you have a few things that you're really keeping busy about to try to get done in this last month or so.
Well, Joe, the fiber keeps getting installed. We're very excited about that. I know as it comes through your neighborhood, sometimes it's a little disruptive. It's like putting in electric wires all across the city or something, but we're excited about that. And then, you know, just a couple weeks ago, we did celebrate the CDFI-friendly Bloomington. That was a new thing where we're welcoming community development financial institutions, CDFIs, to Bloomington. And we celebrated $25 million of new funding that came in, totaling up to 60 million almost. 9 new CDFIs, 35 projects, I think, that's really helped build more affordable housing, support more environmental investments and that kind of thing. So again, it's just good investment that we like to see this momentum in Bloomington, and I'm looking forward to passing the reins off for that momentum to continue.
So when you say, let me just follow up really quick, CDFI, I know for some people that just sounds a little bit over their pay grade. Can you explain how that works in a more elementary type, you know, quicker way?
A community development financial institution, which is what CDFI friendly Bloomington means, is a mission-oriented financial institution. There are hundreds of them around the country, but none based in Bloomington. And this program attracts those lenders to come into our city to bring their money, and they brought $25 million of their money, that's a 20-fold increase in the pace, to help do affordable housing, small business loans for non-traditional borrowers sometimes, loans to help people put in solar and that kind of thing. So we've got 9 of those CDFI lenders, those mission lenders, to come to the city to do that. And we celebrated with them, had about 80 people there, and we hope that momentum continues to help keep creating more opportunity. I call CDFIs equity engines or fairness engines. They're ways to help the financial system work more fairly.
Very interesting. Well, thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll have one more show left to go.
Happy holidays. We'll see you next month, Joe. Yeah.
Thank you.